I'm Mike Sklenz, and you're listening to Nintendo World Report's Connectivity Podcast, episode 124, Holographic Idols. This week, we've got a couple segments for you. We're starting out with a little bit of what we've been playing, then we kind of move into listener mail. And after that, we do a little discussion on Yoshi's New Island. Enjoy the episode.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this segment of What We've Been Playing and Listener Mail. I'm Scott Thompson. Today, I'm joined by Alex Coffey.
Hey, guys.
Zach Miller.
I don't sleep. I just dream.
And Mike Sklenz.
I wish I could do a Cajun accent to compliment Zach's true detective quote, but I cannot. Unfortunately, it's the hardest. One of the hardest accents to replicate.
So that's a show I need to be watching.
Oh my gosh.
You have no idea.
McConaughey in general is just hard to imitate.
So we're going to be talking about games we have been playing. I don't know. I guess I'll just pick someone at random to start. Why don't we start with Mr. Zach Miller? get you out of the way early so you can kind of just zone out
there
for the rest
of
the games you don't care about.
The first thing I'll talk about is Lumines. Is that how you say it, by the way?
I thought it was Lumines.
I don't know.
I've always heard Lumines.
All right, Lumines. Electric Symphony, Electric Boogaloo for Vita. It was $6.50 on sale the other day for non-PlayStation Plus people, which was incredible to me. So I bought it because I liked the first two Lumines. Luminanes, whatever. And this one is Lumines. And this one is, this one's very much the same. Same kind of game. In every Lumines game, I have a real love-hate relationship with the techno club music that they use. And this game is no different. Some of the tracks are good and some are barely tolerable for me. But I like the little graphical changes that happen. I mean, it doesn't look any better than the other Lumines games. It just, they've, you know, switched between different textures for the blocks, and you know, it's cool enough, and it's $6, so I like it. And there's, you know, I think there's online play that I haven't tried yet. Any of you guys?
I bought a Vita, a launch PSP, and one of the games I got with it was Lumines, and it is one of the three games I ever owned for that thing before selling it, and it's probably got 90% of all the gameplay on my PSP. It is one of my favorite puzzle games. I love that shit.
I bought it for $6.75 during the PS Plus sale.
Yep.
And I have never played a Lumines game before, so I was looking forward to it. I heard it was addicting. I heard it was a little rhythmy, which is always good. I think it is very fun. I can see the addictive nature to it. The only thing that bothers me about it is how bullshitty unlocking songs are.
Oh, yeah.
Because you basically have to start the game, and then you just have to go through song by song. There's no continue. It's just you're expected to play through all, like, 30 songs in a row.
It's like a pinball game that way.
You can retry a song if you fail, but basically you got to keep your Vita in sleep mode if you just want to go through it in one burst.
Yeah.
But that's the only problem I have. Like, I am glad I now know what Lumines is.
Yeah, and I like unlocking new avatars. They give you little bonuses for all the bonuses are basically the same. Mm-hmm. Although if you're playing two player, it seems like they might differ. But yeah, you're right. I mean, if you fail and you restart, or you just want to quit because you've been playing for like an hour, you have to go through the whole thing again. That kind of sucks.
Yeah,
I don't understand what the leveling up is. What does that even do?
Some rhythm games do that. It's I know DJ Max Technica Tune, also a Vita game.
It's one of those
that.
Things where, like, as you do it, as you level up, the music becomes more and more complex, and then until you hit a certain breaking point, and then it switches to a whole new song. That's how the first one worked.
It's in DJ Max, at least, it's attached to unlocks, but I'm guessing that's not the case here.
No, I don't know. Oh, maybe it is because, well, who knows? It's a fun game for $6.75.
Yep.
And the other game I've been playing a lot of is Bravely Default. really, really like it. Although I am finding myself holding off on the story missions and going on all the side quests instead.
Yeah.
Mainly to get jobs that I don't use, but also to just level up my party. I think I'm over leveled now. I'm at the very beginning of chapter 3 and everyone's at level 30 with 31. And I'm playing on easy, so I don't want to, so I'm not making myself frustrated. And I'm really like leveling up my town, getting all the new equipment. Like, I just have this thing in sleep mode all the time. And I have 28 town members or townsfolk. And yeah, they build some shit quickly. Pretty nice.
Yeah, that the town mechanic is one of my favorite aspects of the game. And yeah, same here. Like, I love stuff that's supposed to take like almost a full day to do. You just put like 30 townspeople on it, and then you finish it like in an hour and a half.
Yeah, and I found a delicious exploit for getting money. Have you guys found this?
No. What?
Okay, so.
Well, maybe, but I don't know. You tell me.
Well, it has to do with monsters that come into your town. So okay. There's one monster in particular. It's a woman with like big four demon arms coming out of her back. And you'll get two variations on her. One carries ethers, and one carries elixirs. So if you have a thief in your party who knows steel and has really good speed, is faster than everyone else, what you do is choose, everyone else runs, and you just brave four times and use steel for your thief. He'll probably steal an elixir, and then you all bolt, and you can sell an elixir for $25,000. So wow. And then you can just do it again, over and over and over and over again, and you get infinite money that way. So I've been taking advantage of that.
Yeah, I bet you have.
Could be. Well, because money is like hard to come by in this game.
How tough is the game?
On easy, it's perfectly tolerable.
I hear that it's extremely easy to exploit.
As Zach just explained.
No, beyond that, just like I hear it's very easy to get some high level shit in your party pretty early on if you have the right friends.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, you can totally exploit friends. Like I mean this is kind of an issue.
Oh, you mean
like,
attacks, just... Alex? Like attacks?
Yeah, well, oh, something yeah. like that. Something yeah. where you can use either your friends list or street passes to get like
guys
who are way higher leveled.
Yeah, they'll use like one attack and wipe out a boss.
Oh my goodness.
I've been exploiting that as well.
Yep, yeah. Now I think you can only use a friend's attack, isn't it? Is it once every day?
One time a day, and then they have to re-upload it, I think.
Okay. So it's not like you can just find a super powerful deck and use it on everything constantly?
No. I mean, I have two.
But you can't save them all for... What's that?
Oh, I have two or three people who have like 9,999 attacks.
And, yeah, same here.
I'm not using any of them, but they're not going away either.
Yeah.
Unless that person uploads a new attack, and you download it and the next day and it's like less damage. That's the only way it'll change.
Yeah. So yeah, it kind of just reminds me of sort of the philosophy Nintendo's had in general with like different online things with the 3DS where it doesn't factor in if you've got lots of friends all over the world. So like something like what the hell is the letter little like writing program that they had to get rid of because dudes were looking at pictures of kids. Yeah, swap note. You know, it's like, oh, this is great if you've got five friends. But if you've got a full friends list, it is not practical at all. And right. It's like, well, this is really cool for the default. And if you had friends who were playing it at the same level as you, it's like, oh, cool. You get like kind of an extra attack. It's kind of this neat social element. But when you've got, friends lists, people on your friends list who live in Japan who've had the game for like 6 months and are completely maxed out, it does kind of break things a little bit. But at least they were smart enough to put in limits, and yeah, you can't just spam those attacks constantly. But it does make some of the boss battles a little anticlimactic, because I find that I save those attacks, and then I see like a boss, and I'm like, oh my god, a boss. And then I just like hit it with everything I have, and it's dead in a turn. So I don't know. I like the social element, the social elements, but on the other hand, like, I kind of almost wish they weren't there. So I don't know.
I like them. I mean, for a guy like me, I'm just trying to get through the story, and I appreciate not having to, you know, sit there and grind on a boss for 20 minutes.
Right.
On the other
I like the town building aspects of the social stuff. Oh, yeah. New towns members through street pass and things like that.
I like that more. Yeah. I will say though, on the boss thing, like, you don't know. I don't know how much HP the boss has. So if I ever pick a friend's attack and they just wipe the boss out, I'm like, did I just totally waste that attack? You know, was it doing twice as much damage as the boss has hit points? You know, so.
But, you could use the skill that the freelancers have where they examine enemies. That'll tell you how many
examine,
hit points
yeah.
Is.
I just never do that.
Yeah.
It wastes a turn.
Yeah, basically, yeah.
But I like swapping jobs. I've got on white mage and black mage skills now. And
yeah, isn't that awesome? I love that you can mix them like that.
Yeah. What kind of jobs do your guys have?
God, I'm trying to get
recommendations for jobs.
I'm probably not a good person to ask because you're probably further than me at this point. I don't think I'm in chapter 3 yet. Because I kind of took a lot of time off to play Donkey Kong.
Oh, yeah.
But I did the same thing. I mixed like black and white mage, of course. I did the time mage a little bit. I kind of liked that. I've done. I like the knight a lot.
Yeah,
the knight's really powerful.
My idea is a knight.
Yeah, I like the knight. And then thief. I've kept my main character a thief pretty consistently to this point.
Me too.
I really like the thief. I mean, the thief with like a bow and arrow is insane. He gets like 6 attacks at a time and
oh, really?
Kind of wipes out everything. So.
Oh, see, I've been not giving him a bow and arrow because some of his other stats drop. Like his evade drops really far. But maybe I'll try that.
Yeah, I know. You should try bow and arrow. Like, literally, he shoots it 6 times, if not more. I think it depends, like, on your job level, too.
Nice.
He'll attack more and more. But, yeah, it's awesome.
I'll try that. So, and then I've got the barbarian. Ringabel is my barbarian, and he wipes the floor with guys.
Yeah. Yeah, the barbarian. My main character is a barbarian for a while, and I liked that a lot, too.
Yeah. So. Great game.
Yeah.
Moving on.
I'm glad you picked it up. I've had a feeling you would like it.
Yeah.
I'm glad the demo didn't completely turn you off
to it.
I'm glad you went back to it anyway.
And it was only $28 for me.
Oh, yeah. You bought a bunch of the cheap eShop cards, right?
Yeah.
At Best Buy. Yeah, there you go.
Mm-hmm.
So, let's see. Alex, why don't you go next?
So, first off, I have been playing Earth Defense Force 2025 on the PlayStation 3. It's the sequel to EDF 2017 on the Vita, which was an extremely excellent game. And it was originally an Xbox 360 game from around 2007. It's a very simple concept for a game. Basically, it's a bare-bones third-person shooter.
Kill them bugs, right?
It's kill them bugs. Basically, you're a soldier on the Earth Defense Force, and your job is to, in B-movie style, take really explosive weapons, rocket launchers, missile launchers, assault rifles, grenades, anything you can think of, and just kill these bugs in very basic, very fun third-person combat.
Nice.
It's a very simple, pure fun, and one thing I really loved about 2017 is it knew how to mix up the levels. Like, sometimes, yes, it would just be a barrage of giant ants or, I guess, killer... What else do they have in that game? They had spiders, too. It was mostly spiders and ants. But sometimes they had crazy boss battles. Like, there was one that was basically a Godzilla-type monster named Dinomech who breathed fire. And then one of his later versions actually got laser cannons on his back. So it was basically like you were fighting Godzilla with your simple weapon set. And like that game's just really amazing. So 2025 changes, and the fact that it adds around 20 or 30 more missions. Like, it was around 60 missions on Vita, and now it's 85.
Oh, jeez.
And it adds 4 classes now. Originally, it was just a soldier who just had his basic weapon set, but now there's a fencer who has heavy weaponry. There's Wing Diver, who was kind of in the Vita version, in a slightly different version, who's basically a lightly armored female class who can fly over buildings and stuff. And there's also the aerator, who summons vehicles like tanks and mechs and stuff, and they can also trigger airstrikes. And what this does to the game is it makes each level feel really different. So, like, now, let's say you go in the city, you blow up a bunch of buildings, you destroy a bunch of buildings, you kill a bunch of bugs, just as the soldier. You play as Wing Diver, because she has less armor, now you have to play defensively from far away, now you have to use long-range weapons. But you can also fly over buildings now, so the entire level looks incredibly different, even though the only thing that's changing is that you're going into the sky. I guess there's not, like, a ton to say about the game at its core. It's very simple combat. Like, it's a really rough game. It's really just third-person combat, and the game looks almost PS2-esque, like very early PS3 and 360. Like, there's bugs clipping through everything. It's really stupid, and it's really dumb, and it's, like, its presentation is kind of shitty, but that's also, like, the B-movie charm of it. It offers a very certain Japanese niche. And that is why I love it. The game was recently on Vita, the 2017 version, for $10. I think that's really good. I think 2025 is also really good. You can get it probably $40-$50. It's definitely a budget game. I think if you need something new to play that isn't another Mario, isn't another Donkey Kong Country, and you want something really fucking stupid, Earth Defense Force might be the game for you.
Nice.
All right, next up, I played The Walking Dead Season 2, Episode 2. So, the original episode of Season 2, I was kind of bummed out by. I didn't think it was nearly as good as any of the episodes in Season 1, and I wasn't quite convinced as having, for having a little girl as a protagonist, after it was basically Lee, just a standard cookie-cutter protagonist in the first season who you could sort of put your emotions into. Because the difference is, Clem is a clearly defined character from Season 1. She had a clear personality. You were playing as someone with a clear personality, and you couldn't put your emotions into her like you could with the protag of Season 1. But she proves herself in this episode as a really good protagonist, and she proves herself as a better protagonist than Lee. The great thing about Walking Dead is that, like, it's not quite an adventure game, but it's more like a Western visual novel. So it plays with emotions, and it offers a really gripping story from a Western point of view that you can't really get from a lot of Eastern visual novels. And just like anything in that series, like with the TV show, like with the comic book, The Walking Dead does an amazing job of portraying the zombie apocalypse from the human perspective, with the zombies being totally secondary. And I think they get back to that in this episode. They don't fuck around a lot like they did in the first episode and just make it as depressing as possible. A lot of stuff happens in this episode. It moves a lot faster. It's a lot more interesting. My favorite character from... Well, I guess I won't spoil it. But if you really like certain characters of The Walking Dead Season 1, you're going to have a lot of fun this episode. Because it brings one of them back that you didn't think was going to come back. Because of her or his, I don't know, ambiguous ending in the first season. It's really great. I guess, have either of you played The Walking Dead?
I played a bit of the first season, like the first episode.
Okay.
You know my answer. What about you, Zach?
Oh, yeah. You don't even fucking care.
Nope. Fucking zombies, man.
I played the first season all the way through on Vita and really enjoyed it.
Are you going to wait for season two? The first two episodes are coming out later this month, I think, on Vita.
Yeah, I'll probably... I mean, I had a good time playing in the first on Vita. I played, like, the first episode and a half on PC, but just kind of... I don't know. There was something about sitting at my computer and doing it I just didn't really like. So, yeah, I liked the way it felt better on Vita, even though it kind of ran a little poorly compared to the PC version. Sure. Like, load times are a little long, and, like, especially in-game, like, there'd be a moment from when you go from, like, free exploring to kind of a cutscene, and it would freeze for a little bit before it would cut to that cutscene. But I think I'll play it on Vita. I like that the best. I like being able to sit on my couch and play with it right in front of me like that, so.
Well, Telltale Games
If it was on Wii U, I'd play it on Wii U if it was on Wii U, because I think using the gamepad would be, like, the ideal way to play between that and the TV, but that is not an option, so.
I don't think it's ever going to come to Wii U.
Nope. I do not think so either.
And you know what's so fucking sad? The fact that it's coming to Vita, and it's getting supported on Vita into its second season, but Wii U still isn't being considered?
Yeah, I know.
I think Sony probably money-headed it a little. And I can't really blame them since, like, what, like, fucking 25 million episodes were downloaded of the first season total.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like Nintendo should probably do the same thing. Like, they should try to move some of these really popular games over, even if it's only gonna please some of the Nintendo fans who only stick to Nintendo systems. But that is beside the point. The
developers game... should be flocking to Wii U just because for the honor of developing for it, Alex. Nintendo's not going to give you no money.
Because it's Nintendo.
Yeah. Y'all should want to do it. We're Nintendo, bitches.
You're making me depressed, Zach, when I imagine that there are people who actually think that way, unironically.
They work at Nintendo of Japan.
Because it's a Nintendo system, they are actually entitled to games like The Walking Dead. But that is beside the point. I don't want to make our audience.
Too late.
The last game I'm going to be talking about, and the main one, is Hatsune Miku Project Diva F on PlayStation Vita. I've been playing that for review for ZonosGaming.com. It just came out on Vita yesterday for $30 as opposed to the $50 PS3 version that's been out for a while. I think the only difference is that there are some AR songs I think you can play now, and also there's like 5 or 6 songs missing on the Vita version that you have to buy as like $10 DLC. But regardless, it is a rhythm game where basically buttons scroll across the screen and you hit them. It's rhythm game stuff. It's all catchy Japanese music. It's all fucking ridiculous. It's amazing. More importantly, is the way it plays that's special to that game, and who the star is. Like, Hatsune Miku, if you've seen it, it's basically this blue-haired anime diva type thing. She's a Vocaloid, which is basically
an idol.
Synthetic.
She's an idol.
Right, she's an idol. She's a synthetic idol with a pretty realistic-sounding robot voice.
She's like Jem in being totally outrageous and also a hologram.
Yeah. Like
Jem and the holograms. Nobody knows
her
what I'm
songs actually
about.
Chart like her her synthetically
no.
sung. Like in Japan, they actually
oh my
chart.
God.
Well, no, not it's not gonna fucking chart on Billboard.
No, I understand that, but Japan, why?
Well, you just answered your own question.
Japan has so much to answer for.
But yeah, like she charts, and apparently, I was just watching the Giant Bomb quick look, and Gerstmann was saying that apparently people go to concerts to see these synthetic performers perform. But either way, it's like, it's ridiculous. It's the kind of game I'm glad I'm playing on PlayStation Vita, because I don't really want to play a game with anime girls jumping around on a big TV where my family could easily walk in the room. It seems especially made for handheld play. And like, I'm kind of joking, but like, I'm kind of not too. Like, even though I don't care that much, I don't like want to have to explain like who's on my television and why. Who
Alex,
that Hawaii girl
at
is?
Least it's not Super Sonico.
Oh man, I'm gonna have to Wikipedia that.
Yes, you
gonna...
are.
Okay, as for a rhythm game, it's really, really great. I think on its rhythm game parts alone, it is worth getting. It's really tough, which is one of my favorite things about any rhythm game. Like, you're always barely making it to the end, which I think is really good. Like, I don't like easy rhythm games. I like rhythm games that, like, push my skills to the limit, because I think that's when that genre's at its best. But one interesting thing this does is that, unlike other rhythm games, when you just have to finish a song to clear it and unlock the next thing, that's not enough in this game. You have to get a certain score and get what I think the equivalent of, like, a C rank is. I think it's called standard, before it'll actually count as a cleared song. Like, if you finish the song and you don't fail, that's not enough for it to count as cleared. And I like that it takes that little extra hardcore step. I don't know. Like, it's... I don't have a lot of rhythm games that I play now. Like, there's this, there's DJ Max Technica Tune, and I think there was Theater Rhythm, and that's really it. That's really all I've enjoyed in that genre for the last couple of years. And I'm glad there's another crazy Japanese rhythm game that can push my skills to the limits, and I'm really happy about that. I think the great thing about rhythm games, and this is especially the case with Project Diva F, is that they are supposedly pretty easy to localize because there's not that much text. Like, there's menus, there's maybe some lyrics, I guess, And that's pretty much it. So even though you're like, why the fuck would Sega localize Hatsune Miku? It's because it's not that big of a risk, and especially if they put it on PSN and they don't have to worry about charging for cartridges like they did in the case of the Vita version, there's a chance they could come out on top, especially when the Vita version, when the Vita itself has an especially large Japanese-loving audience. If you like rhythm games, I would seriously recommend Hatsune Miku on Vita.
All right, then.
Yeah.
There you go. Did you have anything else?
No. I threw it all out in one burst.
There you go.
If you have anything to say about EDF, Walking Dead, or Hatsune Miku, all three of you can jump in at any time. It doesn't have to be a one-man monologue.
I will say there are lots of Hatsune Miku figures. Lots.
Mm-hmm. Do you have six of them?
I don't have any Miku figures. Guess why?
Yet. Why?
Boobs aren't big enough.
Yes.
Yes!
Go look at that. Of course. Go look up Sonico. She's also an idol over there, and you'll figure it out.
You're not into your lolly, Zach?
God, no. Oh, God. That's another thing I don't understand.
That's good.
Good.
Let's be grateful Zach can draw the line somewhere.
He likes fictional women, not girls.
Exactly.
Amen.
So, Mike, what have you been playing this past week or two?
Let's see. I think I'll talk about Retro City Rampage first.
Is it a Retrocity?
It's a Retrocity DX is what it is.
Ooh.
I played like an hour of this game when I was visiting Johnny Metz in Colorado on his Vita, and I really, really liked it. And I thought, I should get that. But I didn't want to get the Wii version because I didn't want to boot into fucking Wii mode to play a game. Fuck that. And I didn't want to get any of the other versions because I just didn't. Because I heard it was coming out on 3DS, and I was like, I'm just going to wait. I'll get it on 3DS. And it's completely worth the wait because apparently the 3DS version is the best with all of the like expansion content and the gameplay's been tweaked for the optimum experience, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And it includes an epic mealtime minigame, which was totally the selling point for me. That show is fantastic.
I don't know what that is.
It's the YouTube show where they make ridiculous things out of way too much meat. And then they eat them. It's
nice.
Called Epic Mealtime. And it's a bunch of Canadians. And you can play as two of them in this game if you beat the Epic Mealtime minigame. Which is cool. But Retro City Rampage is basically like Grand Theft Auto 2, like top-down Grand Theft Auto. But it's all kind of like retro 8-bit style art and a bunch of really awesome chiptune music that's just supplied by a bunch of chiptune artists who just kind of make this stuff for fun, and now it's in a video game, which is amazing. And it's basically like a 80s parody Onslaught. You're just running around in this city causing all sorts of fucking mayhem and listening to cool music and shooting people in the face and playing this hilarious story about a guy who's trying to get back to his hometown or something. I don't know. It's kind of loose. There's time travel involved, and pretty much every mission is just an excuse to make a bunch of like video game in jokes. So
sounds
it's fantastic.
Sounds like that. What was that old Wii game that didn't come over here? Disaster. It sounds like Disaster Day of Crisis.
I have no clue because I know nothing about Disaster Day of Crisis, but I am shocked at how good Retro City Rampage really is now that I've really sunk my teeth into it. I thought it was kind of be some kind of like, you know, kind of throwaway, kind of joke game when I played it at Johnny's house and I liked it, but then I got it here and it's just fucking great. It's so good. It's $10 and
you will
laugh your ass off the whole time. Really? I would not hesitate to recommend this game to absolutely anybody, especially for $10. There's, if you like any kind of old school video game stuff at all, there's a character called the Game Genie in this game.
Nice.
And he lives in a giant skyscraper, the top of which looks like an original NES Game Genie. And a little
so
different.
Let me, huh?
Go ahead.
Okay, so just two quick questions.
Yeah.
One, is there any indication of how long the game is?
It said there are, I think there's like 60 something story missions and then a bunch of like side missions. And the story missions probably take, I don't know, 5 to maybe 10 minutes at the absolute most, maybe if you died a couple times in the process of trying to complete it.
Okay.
So it's gonna be a decent chunk of content, especially for $10.
And two, would you recommend the game and the game's humor to someone who wasn't necessarily alive during the time most of these jokes
yeah, I'm not
were
sure.
being referred to.
It might be a game for older folks like myself, because I was born in 83, so I mean I was not really cognizant of a good chunk of what happened in the early 80s, but I have good memories of the late 80s and the early 90s, and that's kind of what this game parodies the most too. It does some older things. It'll like parody something like Space Invaders or something, but all the stuff that's really old that it's parodying is pretty well known stuff. It's probably some of the most known games. Although I suppose there could be more subtle jokes in there that are going over my head. But if you have a fondness for 80s culture or 90s culture, I would say you'd definitely like it, even if you didn't remember it. But if you don't really have any knowledge of the era, the game, I guess, it's still pretty fun. If you liked, if you like 2D Grand Theft Auto or like Hotline Miami, it's kind of like that, where it's like top down and you're going through levels and you're killing a bunch of shit. You've got a rocket launcher, you've got a shotgun, you've got every now and then you get superpowers, like you can run crazy fast, like three times the average vehicle speed. There's like a jetpack. There's all sorts. It's packed to the gills with ridiculous shit, and it kind of gives it to you and takes it away and gives it to you and takes it away until I'm assuming near the end game when I'll probably just have all of it all the time.
Huh.
Very sharp writing too. Really sharp writing. There's a lot of like social commentary in it about, like a character in the video game is trying to ban violent video games, and your character's like, that's fucking stupid. I mean, he doesn't say that. He's much more eloquent. He actually goes into a really, really, really like screen page worth of text dialogue about how ridiculous the notion of censorship is, but it's just packed inside this really, really subversive kind of retro video game. You should get it. It's fantastic. I don't know how else I can convince you.
Nice.
So yeah, I've been playing that, and then I've been playing Donkey Kong Country Tropical Freeze, which I almost kind of bought on a whim because I saw those eShop cards were on sale like 2 days after the game came out. So game's $50, eShop cards on sale for $40. I got a brand new game for $40. Boom. Excellent game. Scott, you're playing it too, right?
Yeah, and it is fantastic.
Yeah, I just before we started recording, I just beat the second boss, the owl. So I'm not very far in. I just started playing the third area, the first level in the Savannah world, and the music in that level was fucking blowing me away, but I had to quit to come record this. I was almost late because I thought maybe I could beat it, but some of the levels in this game are like 20 minutes long.
Oh, jeez.
I just tweeted the other day that first level of World 3 is probably like my favorite like 2D platformer level I've played in like 10 years.
Yeah, it's I only got to the first checkpoint, and it was just... And then I saw there were 9 puzzle pieces in it, so I knew it was going to be a long level.
Yeah.
And so I just stopped and came to record. And it's so fucking good. This game is incredible. I can't believe I almost passed on it.
Yeah, it's so good. I mean, I really enjoyed the Donkey Kong Country Returns, but I think maybe even just the quality of music in this game just completely makes this so much better.
I played
Returns.
I played Returns on the 3DS, and I never beat it. I got to like World 7 or something. Or maybe World 6, like the minecarty cave mine level world area. I don't know. And I just kind of stopped playing it. It just kind of like fell out of my rotation. And I liked it. I thought it was pretty good, but Tropical Freeze is way better.
So like,
it is so like much better.
When you guys say that, is it like the difference between Rayman Origins and Legends, where Legends is clearly a step up?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I've only played the first two worlds of Tropical Freeze, but it is a fucking step up. It's just better. It's tighter all the way around. The controls are pretty perfect, except that I wish you could freely switch between the analog and the digital. You can't.
Oh, yeah.
It's like a setting, which is really fucking dumb.
Yeah.
I also love that the game has like 6 confirmation screens between when you boot it up and when you get to start playing it.
Oh, what?
Like, are you sure you want to start playing? All right, do you want to play on the TV or do you want to play on the gamepad? All right, are you sure? All right, you've picked a level now. Do you want to go into this level or do you want to do the inventory? Oh, you want to do the inventory? All right, are you happy with these inventory choices?
Oh,
okay,
God.
Now I want to start the level. Oh, are you sure you want to start the level? Yes. All right, now I'm playing the game.
Oh,
like, that's a realistic number of steps to get from the boot screen into the game.
That's
it's
true.
It's fucking ridiculous. What's the big deal? It would be so much easier if I just got the wrong thing. I can just hit back. You don't need a confirmation. I know what I fucked up. I'll just get back and do it myself. Oh, it's just so fucking handholdy. And then you get to the game and it's brutally difficult.
Yep.
Like, it's It's the menus are designed for someone who's never played a video game, and the game is designed for somebody who's played 100 fucking video games.
Nice.
That's true, because like even like the beginning, like, you know, there's just like this cutesy cutscene, like with like Donkey Kong celebrating, I guess, his birthday. I don't know. And then just instantly it's like super difficult platforming the entire way through.
Yeah. So I don't know. It's very antithetical to itself at times, but it's so fucking good. And Dixie Kong is back, and she was always my favorite. Oh, she's the best.
Yeah, she is the best. I used her throughout, unless I had to use one of the others like to get something specific, like a hidden thing. But
yeah, Diddy's all right. I don't like Cranky Kong, but I haven't used him much.
Yeah, I don't like Cranky, like I said, unless I have to use him to get something that's hidden like way up high.
Yeah, and his whole mechanic is kind of just like the springy snake in Donkey Kong Country 2, and I always hated that guy's levels.
Yeah.
They're so
Did
hard.
You find the record player in World 1?
Yeah, it's in like on that secret exit when you get up there and it goes and plays the original Donkey Kong Country music.
Yeah, it's so good. I love that.
And then
that.
If in the very first level, if you roll into like the area to the left and get the balloon, there's a set of TVs on the ground, and if you slam the ground, they all boot up and they show the title screens for Donkey Kong Country 1, 2, and 3, and the old school Donkey Kong Country music plays.
Wow. That's awesome. I didn't know that. Yeah. I'm going to go do that.
Yeah, it's so great. I sat there and like let it loop for like a minute. That's great.
That's awesome. Yeah, like I said earlier, that this is pretty much the only game I've been playing the past week and a half. And in fact, I just completely beat it. I unlocked the special hard mode.
Did you beat all the K levels too?
Yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah, I beat everything.
The first one took me like 50 tries.
Oh yeah, they're super hard. Super, super hard. And then when you beat all the secret levels in each world, you unlock a final seventh world that just has three like super hard levels in it. And then when you beat that, you unlock the hard mode, which is the same as the first game. A hard mode. So you can't use any items. You only have one heart, and you can't use any buddies. You can't use Dixie or Diddy or Cranky. God.
Yeah, that's insane.
So it is insane. I'm tempted to like try to get my way through it now just to kind of do it, but I'm going to take a little break.
There are some levels I don't know if I could beat them at all without one of the buddies.
Some of the bosses and stuff. I mean, I just can't imagine not being able to get hit at all. I mean, that would be so hard.
Everyone says that after the first world, the bosses start getting really difficult, but I dispatched the second boss on my first try.
They get hard. They for sure get hard.
I really liked the second boss though, the owl. That was a really good boss fight.
Yeah, I liked the owl. Yeah, I liked all the bosses. I thought all the bosses were actually pretty unique. The final boss is really hard.
That's something super that hard. This game gets at. The last game Returns had kind of like a shitty enemy set, like those tiki monsters. They're just kind of, I don't know, they had not enough character, and these winter viking, whatever the fuck animals they are, I thought they were stupid when they were announced, and they are brilliant.
Yeah,
because they're played perfectly. Like they're just kind of, I don't know, they're not that intimidating, and I guess that's funny about them.
Yeah, no, I agree.
And the first one, what is that, like a sea lion?
Yeah.
Like, whoever thought a sea lion would be the boss in a video game?
Would be, like, threatening it all.
And
yeah,
the best part of the sea lion is that...
Hey, now, there's a walrus boss in Little Mermaid for NES.
Yeah. But the best part about the sea lion is the music that plays when you fight him is, like, this, like, Norwegian death metal, which is so fucking funny.
Yeah.
Oh, this game is so good. I can't believe how much I like it. It's incredible. It just brings me back to my childhood when I was playing Donkey Kong Country 2.
Yep. Yeah. Same here. Yeah. That music. I cannot get enough of it.
Yeah.
It's just so good.
David Wise. He is a fucking genius.
No joke. I mean, that was pretty much all I played this week. So we'll count that as what I've been playing as well. If you have not played Donkey Kong yet, Zach, I'm assuming you haven't yet. No. I feel like you're just kind of naturally opposed to these 2D revivals, am I correct in thinking that?
No, I just didn't fall in love with Donkey Kong Country Returns 1.
If you thought Donkey Kong Country Returns was good, like if you thought it was a pretty good game and you were like, that's all right, but you really wanted it to be something more, that's what this game is.
Okay.
Yeah.
I might grab it then. And
another one of those eShop cards for $40 and then you'll get a brand new game for $40.
Yeah, that's what? Very true. That's very true.
Well, yeah, because Donkey Kong
and you get $5 back.
Although, isn't like 12 gigs or some gigantic?
Yeah, it's like fucking ridiculous. It's like 11.5 gigabytes. I had to delete 5 games because I don't have an external hard drive yet. I was just kind of buying games until I hit that threshold.
My terabyte external hard drive says hi.
Yeah, I'm gonna get one now. I was putting it off until I needed to. And Donkey Kong Country Tropical Freeze is me needing it too, because it is 11 fucking gigabytes.
Oh my god!
It is bigger than the last 4 retail games that I downloaded from the eShop fucking combined.
It's those fur effects, man.
It's ridiculous. It is absolutely. I think it's pretty fucking unacceptable that they could not get it any smaller. I just don't understand where is all that space going. I don't understand. It's 2D, and the textures are great, but Mario looks better, and it was like 1.8 gigs. How is it 10 times bigger than that, almost?
Yeah, it really doesn't make any sense. Maybe there's something in there we don't know yet.
5 times.
All of the previous Donkey Kong games.
Is the music all completely uncompressed, maybe?
Right, yeah, it's like super high quality, just, like FLAC files.
Yeah, it's all in FLAC. Maybe if that's what it is, I would give them a pass for that because the music is legitimately incredible.
I would totally be fine with it. Yeah, I agree.
I'm not going to pretend there's a logistic to how many gigabytes a Nintendo game has, but I guess for the Wii U, considering it launched with like 32 gigabytes in the system, it is a little crazy.
It's a third of the system memory, for fuck's sake.
Yeah.
PS3 games have been 20 gigabytes for a long time.
What?
It's competing consoles. This generation have games that are easily 40, 50 gigabytes.
Good God!
So 13 isn't that crazy.
I'm just saying, the next biggest one I had was Pikmin, and it was like 4.5 with the update data.
I don't know. Maybe it's... A lot of that stuff is often cinematic. Cinematics often
It does have some really fucking long cinematics.
I think Wind Waker is like 4 gigs, maybe. I don't know.
No, Wind Waker was smaller than that. Oh, and also, I'm very unimpressed with the loading times, especially because it's running off the solid-state memory. It still takes forever to load. Just like the last game, which I thought was maybe... I don't know. I played that on the 3DS, so I thought that would load faster, too, because it's solid-state, but... I don't know, man. I understand there's a lot of shit in that level, but I mean, it's a long level. Can't you stream it? Like, what's going on here?
Yeah.
Anyways, right. minor quibbles on a piece of gameplay that is otherwise brilliant.
On to some listener mail. I think we're ready for that. I think we're ready for some mail. We got a chunk of mail. We're just going to read a couple tonight because we've gone a little long on what we've been playing. Let's see. Well, I'll do this one real quick because actually this is good because this won't even involve us answering. We got a question from someone named Zach. He said, "Hey guys, I listen to the show every week. My girlfriend usually gets mad at me because I fall asleep with my earphones in, trying to squeeze every last bit of goodness out of my favorite Nintendo-related podcast. So thank you for possibly breaking up your relationship to listen to us. We appreciate it." He said, "Recently I've been thinking about getting into doing Let's Play videos." He says, "Yes, I know, me and everyone else in the world. I understand that it is an invasive mod if you want to capture 3DS footage. I really don't feel like permanently altering my 3DS shape or size, but I think there are a variety of products on the market that can capture Wii U gameplay. Someone who's never captured anything before, can you make suggestions for products and different websites and tips and things like that? I've never done this myself. I don't think any of us have really done any streaming. But I reached out to our own Don Koopman, who does a ton of capturing on Wii U and 3DS. And while he didn't have time to prepare a statement for me for tonight, what he's going to do is he's going to record a answer to this question, and we are going to splice it in right now. So right now, if everything goes according to plan, you will hear Don Koopman describe to you the products he uses, how he does it, and everything like that. So hopefully it is going to play right now.
Wait, where am I? I was supposed to be on a segment about Yoshi's New Island, but I seem to have wandered in a completely different direction altogether, which is pretty difficult, because hey, this is a podcast, or an audio thing, I don't really know what this is going to turn into, but yeah. What is this? Listener mail? Sure, I want to answer this. Let's go. So, I'm going to include the Nintendo 3DS side of things in this answer, not only because that people are quite interested in it, because it's part of your question and I kind of want to elaborate on it a bit more than you're stating here. So, with Nintendo 3DS, there are two separate mods out there that can change your unit in a capture device. First of all is 3DSCapture.com. It's from a guy named Loopy. He lives in Seattle. And what he does is, indeed, he will add some bulk to your Nintendo 3DS. It looks like a bit like a battery pack. There's a micro USB port on the front. It's all nice and good, though. It's nothing too horrible. But I can get what you're saying. That said, though, it is extremely easy to record with. I have no problems with it at all. You can just record button and get something quickly done, and it's all nice and good. If you are interested in something more elegant, though, and have some more money to spend, then I would suggest 3DSVideoCapture.com. That is 3DSVideoCapture.com. With this mod, you can get a 3DS XL with no bulk added whatsoever, but instead of the infrared port on the top of the system, it will be replaced by a micro USB port. So you will notice nothing from a distance, it will just look like a 3DS XL, but you will have something special in the unit soldered for you. So that's a nicer mod, but here's something that's not so nice. Again, the price is more hefty, and also what you need to keep in mind is that the recording side of things is a bit more difficult than 3DS capture. The reason for this is that with the program, you actually need an additional program to get it all recorded, something like Bandicam, which will take some extra money out of your wallet because it requires a licensed fee. So that's something that you need to take all in consideration. If you want something cheaper, nice to do the job, 3DS Capture is the way to go. If you want something elegant, but you need to be more professional, and you need to know exactly what you are doing, then maybe 3DS Video Capture is something to look into, but be very careful with what you choose. I must also say, though, that 3DS Video Capture has a larger range of products. You can indeed choose for a regular 3DS, a 3DS XL, a Nintendo DSi, a Nintendo DS, and even a PlayStation Vita. So there is a lot of option for you there. So take both consideration. Get a browse on their websites and get a good idea of what they're offering. Also, you can download like the 3DS capture software from Loopy side of things for free, so you can also kind of see what that is all about when you download it. So we have covered now the 3DS side of things, but what about Wii U? What is the best product for your money that's on the market today? My answer would be, in all sincerity, the Elgato Capture Box. HDMI has some really odd problem, and it's called HDCP. This will block certain HDMI devices from not being able to show up on recording hardware. Elgato, for some reason, doesn't have this problem, so whatever you plug into it may it be a video console or something else, it will work flawlessly on the thing. And the quality comes out so good that you could actually record it on the PC without ever needing a TV, because the lag is non-existent because of the strength of HDMI. The handy thing about the Elgato software that comes bundled with the HDMI device is that you can directly record audio next to it, so you already have a complete commentary track. It's very handy to use for beginners. I would highly recommend it. It's a bit pricey, but if you're really interested in capturing like a lot of gameplay from the Wii U, it's definitely something that you could look into, and I wouldn't hold against you that if you would buy it, because it's a really nice piece of kit. So we cover now both sides of things, and you kind of want to know at this point, how do I edit for this together if I bought either a 3DS capture footage, or hey, I decided to just record a gameplay of the Wii U and forgot some audio to put alongside of it. Then you need an editing program, and there are two great options for you that you can check out. First of all is Pinnacle Studio. This is a great program for beginners because it is really straightforward. You can have a commentary track, audio track, and video track. It's really easy to set up. The tools are very handy, and it will really ease you in as a beginner. If you have a bit more money, though, and are a bit more skilled, then I would recommend rather going for an Adobe Premiere program. For the sake of argument, I'm not naming versions because like Adobe could release a version at any moment at any given time. So for me, that is very difficult to say. However, there is a special program now running on the Adobe website where you can rent these products every single month. You can just end it when you don't use them anymore. And the Adobe products always been great. You have Photoshop there. You have, again, they have Premiere. You also have Audition, which is the podcasting editing program, which I use for editing the quiz shows. So there is a lot of great software that you can like semi-purchase for a good price. Be aware that you will always have costs associated with it, so you are never done. But if you get some good value out of it, it's definitely worth something to look into. And if you're really thinking about doing it professionally and thinking about earning something with it along the line, Adobe is just a really small cost to pay. So, yeah, I hope this answers your question well enough. If not, you can always ask me away on Twitter, which is at Nintendan, that's NINTENDAAN, or send me a message through mail. The best way to do that is nintendan@gmail.com. Okay, guys, thank you for listening. Thank you for sending in your questions, Zach, and I wish you all a very nice day. Have a muffin. Go do that. Cheers.
Okay, so there you go. If everything went according to plan, then now you are informed about how to capture footage for your Wii U and 3DS. Yay! If not, sorry, I guess. We'll try next time. So there you go. Thank you, Zach, for writing in, and hopefully that helped. If you have any more questions, you can always reach out to Don on Twitter. At Nintendon. He's super friendly and will probably answer any question you have if you just tweet at him. So do that. Let's jump to some other questions. Here's a question from our friend Adman, who's been writing in quite frequently. It's about the Nintendo Direct that was a couple of weeks ago. He says, why do you think this Nintendo Direct was so underwhelming? Do you think Nintendo blew all their announcements last year? What are the Japanese teams working on? I think we'll see Zelda Wii U in 2015 and Galaxy 3 in 2016 with these mysterious brother systems launching in 2017. These predictions are kind of grim. Blah, blah, blah. Do you think we'll see anything else? Like maybe some more downloadable content for New Super Mario Bros. U or anything like that? Something from Retro, Star Fox, F-Zero, kind of all that familiar stuff. And will Sakurai make another game? And do you think his recent wrist pain is from trying to play Kid Icarus with its unique controls? I didn't know he was suffering from wrist injuries, but I believe
yeah, they said it's limiting his time in the office even.
It's getting worse, too, over the development. Yeah, it's like it's apparently like making it tough for him to work. It's honestly pretty sad.
Just wear a wrist brace.
Oh yeah, Urbis Price. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, so that's kind of a bummer. But I didn't think the last Nintendo Direct was underwhelming. What did you guys think? I don't know. I think we talked about it probably in a segment at some point.
I thought
point.
It was all right. Yeah.
I don't even remember it.
I think the segment was Zach, Neil, and I. I don't remember if we said it was that underwhelming. Like, I think we were down about some stuff. I thought it was all right. I think the big problem I had is that outside of X, there aren't really that many games coming out that aren't, in some sense, a rehash or not that crazy exciting. And not to mention, Wii U's year is pretty much entirely leftovers from announcements in previous years. Like, there's Bayonetta 2, there's maybe Yarn Yoshi, there's maybe Hyrule Warriors, there's X, Smash Bros., and there's going to be some stuff at E3. There's a game or two that we haven't seen yet. But most of this year is just cleanup. Like, outside of X, which I am very excited for, assuming it is a proper Xenoblade-type sequel or successor to that, I am excited for that. Other than that, Wii U hasn't, like, excited me yet at all.
Sexually.
And not sexually, surprisingly. Like, if we're just talking strictly since launch, Nintendo hasn't given me that wow moment yet. And I guess if we were bummed out about the Direct, it was probably because we still haven't been wowed.
Right. I agree.
Yeah, I think the only thing that's really kind of had me super excited since launch was probably Mario 3D World. That was probably a game where, like, I was counting down the days till it came out and I was really excited. But apart from that,
so good.
It is so good. But apart from that, nothing really. It's like, oh good, Donkey Kong's coming out. And while I think Donkey Kong's fantastic, I wasn't, like, on the edge of my seat waiting for Donkey Kong, you know? And I think the problem with this Direct in particular is we had all this financial stuff where they're cutting sales projections and everything like that. We had Iwata speak to shareholders and kind of promise sort of a revival of Wii U and this new focus on, like, quality of life stuff he took a pay cut, emphasizing the gamepad, things like that. But this Nintendo Direct was so soon after that I don't think they had time to really kind of have anything to show to illustrate that. So then you kind of just had more of the same that has kind of got them in this situation to begin with. So it was maybe a little underwhelming in that way, but, you know, I'm still excited about Mario Kart and Super Smash Bros. Like anybody else.
Yeah, Mario Kart's this year. I fucking totally forgot about
that. I'm actually really excited about that game. It's not something that I'm, like, waiting for and counting the days down to, but I know when I get it, I'm going to really enjoy it. I skipped Mario Kart Wii, so I'm really excited about this one.
I'm actually more excited about Mario Kart now that I've seen some of those Pennzoil screenshots where they're kind of upside down and sideways, and I thought to myself, you know what game that looks like? It looks like fucking F-Zero, because that's what you do with F-Zero.
Yeah, it almost seems like this is their way to kind of bring back F-Zero. Is just kind of folded into Mario Kart in a way.
I think that's a little hopeful.
Well, I mean, that style of racing, you know.
It's not going to be fast like F-Zero.
Oh no!
It's not going to be exciting like F-Zero.
No, not that. No.
I think this game is probably going to be the sequel to Mario Kart 7, which was the sequel to Mario Kart Wii. And by sequel, I say that
expansion pack?
Much different. Well, the thing is, 7 actually had less content than Wii. So it was like, it was contraction pack? I don't know. It's this game's really kind of bumming me out.
Well, let's talk about this Zelda Wii U in 2015. No, that's not going to happen. Oh, and wait, 2015.
Is.
Yeah, sure. I can see
that.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Galaxy 3. I think 3, it'll be announced. I don't think we'll see any more Galaxy games. I think they've moved on.
Yeah, I think so too. I feel like they're at the... It's funny, Mario games are almost on the same cycle as iPhones. I think I may have said this before, where it's innovate, perfect, just ad nauseum.
New Super
so I'm excited
Mario
for the next one,
because
that's
pack.
Innovate.
No, that's not going to happen.
Yeah, no, I think they're done with New Super Mario U. I think the thing to be really excited about at this point is what Retro is working on now. There was just that story that came out last week that Retro was calling the Wii U a powerhouse and you know, kind of saying that people don't really understand what it can really do. And they also said they've been working on another game for a few months now.
Metroid Prime Trilogy HD.
Right. God. Assuming this isn't just going to be, I mean, I guess even if it was a new Metroid game, that would be okay. But I think it's time for them to go out and do something new, and I hope Nintendo lets them do that. I think that's the one thing you can be excited about, and maybe we'll see something in E3, and that's going to be the game that is finally worth kind of being on the edge of
the retro game's not really amazing, this is going to be like, I don't know, a real bummer E3, I think.
Well, I mean, why not at this point let retro just kind of alternate? Like, have them do kind of a first-party Donkey Kong safe kind of game, and then let them go out and do something they want to do, and then let them come back and do a Metroid or Star Fox.
If we're lucky, they'll come up with their own fucking Uncharted, like, just some kind of original shit that just blows up huge.
Yeah. Right.
If we're really lucky.
That's what Nintendo needs.
That's what retro needs to be. They need to be Nintendo's Naughty Dog.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I think they could do it. I think if the leash was taken off, the retro could really do something impressive.
Yeah.
The retro game has been in development for only a few months now, so I think maybe it is a little preemptive to expect anything at this E3.
I know, like a trailer, an announcement trailer.
I just need something.
This E3 is going to be their NFC year, I think.
Yeah.
This is going to be
great.
The
they'll
year
only be like 3 years
drop,
late on that trend.
Whatever Miyamoto's Wii U game is and NFC, which I think are going to be one and the same. I don't think this is going to be Retro's year because, like, Donkey Kong was Retro's 2014 thing.
I think Donkey Kong was Retro's 2012 thing. You know?
Well, 2010, if you want to be really specific.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's move on to one more question. Let me take a look here at what we have. Let's do this one. It's a two-part question, but it's kind of some simple stuff. This is from Christian. It's a two-parter here. The first one's just kind of silly. It says, first, how awesome will a Skylanders-like Star Wars game be? Might as well just send my bank account info to Disney right now. Do you think it will be a standalone game, which is my hope, or do you think they would wedge it into Disney Infinity, which is my fear? Do you have any speculation as to the gameplay? Which I think it's when he's asking us, like, specifics about this game that he just kind of imagined that he would like. Like, he's like, so what characters would be in it?
Let's talk about my imaginary Silent Hill revival.
What would be mapped to what buttons, you tell me? I'm just kidding, Christian. You're great. Thank you for writing in. And then his second question, what do you think happens to all those Nintendo Club surveys? Does anyone really read them? Do you think that any Nintendo behavior has ever been adjusted because I found the controls somewhat difficult on a particular game?
I wonder about that myself.
Would they spend all that money to run Club Nintendo if they weren't using the data for anything?
Yeah, they're using so much
Companies
money.
All the time now collect data and do surveys, and they pay attention to this stuff. It's not being ignored. Now,
they don't always know what to make of the giant ball of information they have.
Yeah,
right.
Always.
So they might not maybe implement it right away, but no, they're for sure reading these surveys, and they're they're conscious of responses, especially if there's overwhelming response in one direction, or one specific category. So
it's probably why Donkey Kong Tropical Freeze doesn't have shaking for rolling.
About I would believe that. Although I think you can still do that if you do use the Wii Remote.
Oh, God.
I think you can play with the Wii Remote, but you don't have to. Okay. Like, I played the whole thing with the gamepad, and it was great. So,
Gamepad with the screen on.
I got a quote from a I Wanna Asks interview, because just to answer the Club Nintendo question, I remember hearing about this somewhere, but it was apparently Paper Mario, Sticker Star, and during the Iwata Asks interview, Tanabe says, yeah, with regards to the story, we did a survey over the Super Paper Mario game in Club Nintendo, and not even 1% said the story was interesting. A lot of people said that the flip move for switching between the 3D and 2D dimensions was fun. So, apparently, this is actively being considered for the development of some games, no matter how small.
Well, there you go. Concrete proof that it does reach the top. So there you go.
Matters. Yeah.
There you go.
I think for Disney Infinity, I think they're trying to grow Disney Infinity specifically, not some Infinity brand, but specifically Disney Infinity. And I think what they're going to do is the Marvel and the Star Wars. There's a chance they could make spinoffs and make some yearly thing out of this. I think they're all going to get shoehorned into Disney Infinity.
I think we'll still get tentpole releases. Like, we might get a major Star Wars game, but it will almost certainly also be in Disney Infinity.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I think so. Yeah, they're not going to separate it. It's going to be one thing for sure. Yeah.
You know, the tragic thing about Disney Infinity is I really like those character designs. I like the way the characters are built. But I have no interest in the game at all. Yep. And the figures are so expensive that I'm not going to pay money for them. I just really like the designs.
What if Star Wars was included? Would that get you to buy it?
No, that would probably get me to less buy it, you know.
Fair enough.
Maybe if it was Star Trek.
Yeah.
Yeah. Although I'm not sure how that would look. Just the same guy in a different shirt.
Just a bunch of guys in red shirts running around getting killed. All right. Well, yeah, that's going to do it. We've got a little bit more listener mail, but we'll save it for next time. So if you would like to send us your own listener mail, you can do that at connectivity@nintendoworldreport.com. As Mike has so often pointed out, we will basically
read
anything.
It.
So
we'll
send it in. Yeah. So please do. Anyone who wrote in who we didn't get to, we will get to it next time.
Look, we have a stockpile now. That's awesome. Keep it going.
I know, right? We're getting there. It's good. So, Alex, Zach, Mike, thank you for being here.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Somebody once told me that time is a flat circle.
Was this more True Detective?
Yes.
Okay, good. I'm going to go watch that right now. All right. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
People on this panel, including myself, Neil Monahan, and we're all reviewing this game for various outlets. I'm reviewing it for Nintendo Force, and we have Alex Kalafi.
Hi.
And Don Koopman.
What's up?
Who are covering it for Nintendo World Report, which is the site that you're listening to right now. So we are going to talk about Yoshi's New Island. We're still embargoed to some extent as far as our final impressions and reviews and specific levels and stuff. But what we're going to do right now is talk about where we came into the series. Let's start with you, Alex.
All right. So the original Yoshi's Island, I played that on Game Boy Advance, the one that came with the original Mario Bros., part of the Super Mario Advance series. And that was one of my classic, platformer games. That is, in my opinion, the single greatest platformer, at least of the classic era. Of all time, I think its bosses are amazing. I think its level design is amazing. I think its ideas are amazing. I think its look is amazing.
Even the GBA port?
The GBA port was fine. It's I hear the 3DS port of that was bad, but
no, I've never heard anything good. I mean, other than that, it's a very good sound game. I haven't spent too much time with the Game Boy Advance version, but I've always heard to stay away because the Super Nintendo version is very, very clearly better. Like stuff like Touch Fuzzy, Get Dizzy, like doesn't really work on the Game Boy Advance.
I think the big thing to remember, though, is that children aren't very good critics. Like, when something's a little worse, I had nothing to compare it to at the time it came out. So based on when I played it, based on the way I played it, I guess I must have thought that was the only version at the time. I thought.
So, is your negative opinion on Yoshi's New Island colored by the fact that you played Yoshi's Island when you were younger and you played this one when you were older?
I think I do have standards. I think if you're going to make a Yoshi's Island game, I will give you the benefit of the doubt and I will play it in clear conscience, right? But if you're going to make a Yoshi's Island game, I have expectations. I have expectations that whatever boss fights there are going to be excellent. I have expectations that whatever level design is going to be interesting in the same way as Yoshi's Island. I'm not saying that it's bad in Yoshi's New Island. I'm not making any comment on that. I'm just saying those are my expectations. I have very high expectations based on my playthrough of the original Yoshi's Island and Yoshi's Island DS. I mean, I also played that when I was very young.
Were you a fan of that?
I knew it was worse. I knew it was worse than the original Yoshi's Island, but I didn't mind it. Like, to me at the time, at least, it still felt like a Yoshi's Island game. And there are some really shitty levels. Like, there's that level that scrolls for like 8 minutes straight.
That was my breaking point when I played that game. That was when I was like, "Nope, I'm done." The levels in Yoshi's Island DS to me were way too incredibly long and required a lot of like backtracking and stuff to get 100% because you need to make sure you have the right baby and all that crap. And I guess I'll go over my Yoshi's Island history. I despise Yoshi's Island DS, but I do love the original. The original has gotten to a point where it's only enjoyable to me if I get 100% in every level. If not, then I feel like I failed. And because of that, while I do think that the original Yoshi's Island is a fantastic game, I blame my fucking douchebag friend who burned it into my head that the way to play this game is to get 100%. And I am not nearly as good at video games as he is, so that was always tough for me, but I still think that game is fun. Don, how about you?
So I was very young when like the original came out, so I was like 4 or 5 at the time, so I usually saw my dad playing it because he used to play a lot of video games still back in that time. I played a couple of levels. I wasn't very good at it because I was so young, but later on I did play it, and later on I also played the GBA port, which I really liked actually. It's one of those games that I've put a lot of time into.
Did you play it on the 3DS or the GBA?
On the actual GBA, just with the first version and later the SP.
I didn't know if you didn't play it until the Ambassador days.
No. When the GBA hit, I was all over my handhelds, man. But yeah, I played it a lot because I love that Super Mario Adventures. They really upgraded those games like plentiful. And moving on from that, I also played on 3DS, which I thought the cartridge was washed out. I didn't find a proper way to play it, so went back directly to my Game Boy Advance SP. Didn't like Yoshi's Island DS.
Yeah,
welcome
to the winning team, Don.
I would have gone so far as I hated that game. There were like levels like that that were just a breaking point for me. And honestly, I can honestly say that this is one of the only Nintendo games that I have never finished.
Yeah, there are a lot of Nintendo games I haven't finished. That is a big thing.
Yeah, I mean, I finish a lot of games that I get. That's like the goal of entire existence.
100%ed Game in Wario. I think we can just begin and end every discussion with that.
Yeah, but that got, you know, if you hear that and all of the things that I've talked before, that how difficult it is for me to not finish a game, and that was kind of one of the few that made it actually occur that I didn't not finish a game. So I found it that bad.
Well, let's go on and start talking about the new game that we have all been playing, Yoshi's New Island, which is coming out on the 3DS a number of years after Yoshi's Island DS, and you know, almost 20 since Yoshi's Island on Super Nintendo. It's developed in part by Arzest, and while Nintendo has been focusing a lot on that, Takashi Tezuka is working on the game. In reality, he also worked on Yoshi's Island DS, so I don't really know what the big deal was. I think they're just trying to. I feel like they recognized that there was an issue with the perception of the game, and they tried to play up Tezuka's involvement to make it seem like there wasn't an issue with the perception with the game. So with Tezuka's involvement, I don't really think that was a big surprise or a shock. However, starting to talk about Yoshi's New Island, I'm almost finished it, and I'm really, really enjoying it much more than I thought I would. I personally feel like a lot of the stuff that I've played has maybe not been to the same high bar that Yoshi's Island on Super Nintendo set, but it's like a new Super Mario Brothers take on Yoshi's New Island, and actually, a lot of what I feel while playing this game is how I felt while playing New Super Mario Brothers 2, where it does kind of feel like it's, you know, maybe it's like a, you know, the B team working on this game. I wouldn't be surprised if a lot of people who worked on New Super Mario Brothers 2 are working on this game. But there's still some clever things that happen throughout it, and I'm really enjoying it. Although, as Alex kind of talked about earlier, the bosses that I have played are pretty fucking lame.
Yeah, it's the bosses. Well, let me just say, the first boss, and you can make assumptions about the later boss, is exclusively three hits, egg tosses, throw three eggs at it, he's done. Maybe there'll be some attacks in between hits. It's basically the New Super Mario Bros. DS bosses.
Yeah.
It's three hits, attack patterns, kind of lame, especially compared to some of the crazy shit the original Yoshi's Island put out.
Although I have been enjoying Kamek, he shows up a lot in the middle of worlds, and I thought that his boss battles would be really dumb, but I think I like them better than the end of world boss battles.
Yeah.
Yeah, same here.
But not by a lot. Like, I think the bosses are definitely, they are a weak point in my time with the game so far.
Which is so crazy to me, because, like, when I think of this thing I remember most about the original Yoshi's Island,
huge,
it's like
Septimus
Tap Tap
battles.
The Red Nose. It's that giant Bowser that faces you.
Raphael
the Raven, where you stomp on the stumps and it like throws them off the moon.
So like, oh man, I love that boss fight. That was actually here's a fun fact. In Nintendo Force, we have something where it's like a retro shot. The first issue, I believe, had Raphael the Raven as like a cool retro throwback page.
Kind
which
of
made
a
me happy because
to a Mario Galaxy.
What?
Kind of a precursor to Mario Galaxy.
Oh, definitely. So, Don, you haven't talked as much about Yoshi's New Island yet. So, what are your general thoughts on it, playing it so far?
So, I first have to go into what I initially thought after playing the E3 demo and how that differs.
Which is it shitty?
Yeah. Which, when I played that demo back in the day, I think what the game would be busted, man. I think I would immediately dislike the game and not even talk about it, like, in 2 weeks after it came out. But playing the game, I'm finding myself that I was wrong. I was quite wrong. There's some merit to what Neil was saying towards the New Super Mario Bros. Approach. So I do look at games in a more separated way. And I've been... The level designs actually have been what surprised me the most. I thought that they would be like really stagnant and not really interesting, but like every so often, like every couple of levels, just something shiny comes up and I'm back in the game all over again. And that's what keeps me going and kept me going all the way through. It's not that Yoshi's New Island is like the best game ever, but it's a fair enough platforming fix that seems to be doing a lot of things well enough.
Yeah, and I feel like through my time with the game so far, a lot of it has been, it's, you know, it is good enough.
Yeah.
It doesn't do anything particularly shitty. Like, there's nothing
I think the graphics kind of surprised me. At that E3 demo last year, I thought the game looked bad. I thought it handled okay. They did not, I mean, it felt like Yoshi. Mm-hmm. But I didn't think it really looked too hot at E3, and playing the finished game, especially with the 3D on, it, you know, it looks pretty cool.
Yeah.
Way better than I thought it would. And just the motion of everything. So, there's a lot of cool graphical like you know, tricks and stuff with the enemies, especially when you get to some I forget the enemy names, but there's the one that like pops out of the lava.
Blarg.
Okay.
Yes. Also, the hammers in some of the castles pop up.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. One side I don't really like a part of the presentation, though, the repetitive nature of the music.
Oh my goodness, can I talk about this?
Sure, go ahead. Yeah.
Okay.
Sure, go ahead, yeah.
So, the theme of the game, the one that you might have heard at E3...
or the trailers.
Trailer, the one that's like... like that one. That is in itself a rearrangement of the original dun 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 of the original Yoshi's Island. And not only that, but every single level in this game has a rearrangement of that E3 trailer music. It's a rearrangement, like this one's jazz guitar, this one's acoustic guitar. Every single level is a rearrangement of a rearrangement.
I mean, if people have noticed on the site, I published 13 videos of that game, and I think 10 of the 13 have that theme.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's horrible.
It's probably 13 of the 13, but they do a better job of hiding it.
No, with 4, 1, and 4, 8, they have different music. And I know that one of the grass green levels had something else, but I can't remember which one again.
But they do such a bad job of hiding it. Mario World is good because, yes, there are a lot of songs that are rearrangements, but they're rearrangements that come from a completely different perspective. This one doesn't do a good job of hiding the fact that they're rearrangements.
Yeah.
It just sounds like you're playing the same song in a different style every single time.
It's especially disappointing in comparison to, like, say, Link Between Worlds, which also had a lot of familiar music, but they did such outrageously awesome things with it. And this is a game that, you know, maybe I kind of expected the music to not be that great. But, you know, there's always that hope that maybe it'll be really awesome. And it's just like, it's so blah. Like, it's elevator music.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I must say, though, the version of it in World 5 is possibly the one I like the most.
Yeah.
The Nobi Nobi Boy jazz guitar one?
No, that's the wintery one.
Yeah.
Okay. No, wait. I think that one's World 6.
Yeah, but no, I'm in the snow world right now, and that's probably my favorite level so far.
That opening level. We won't spoil it, but if you want to see it again, there's a video on the site. I found that that's the level I remember the most after now looking back at my playthrough of that game.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely, there's some standout levels, and I think most of them might wind up being in World 5. some of them have really cool concepts, and they kind of have, like, you know, they build a level around a certain idea, and it's really awesome.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
It's. I guess this is as good a time as any to bring up the level design. I think the level design is entirely competent, but a lot like the music, I think blah is a good word. Like, none of it's bad, and it does some interesting things with the egg dozers. But, like, I played most of those levels around twice. I barely remember any level, like, the concept of any individual level. Like, it all just kind of blends together. And none of the worlds have, like, a set theme outside of the snow level. And, like, maybe the last world.
Yeah, I'm actually trying to think of worlds 1 through 4. What are the themes of them?
One was a jungle.
One was
a grass field.
Yep.
What are the other two?
We got 1 and 2. The second one was a jungle.
Yeah.
One of them's kind of a water world.
Yeah. Some of the water stuff's cool, where you have to get the metal egg dozer and then you sink to the bottom.
Yeah,
but once again, like, those are kind of like the big new additions to the gameplay, and I think those are really like gimmicky and kind of one-offs.
They segregate them to one specific part of the missions. Like, you can't take a big egg dozer, either metal or regular, throughout an entire level. You get one very specific chunk of a level where you can use it.
It reminds me of, like, the Big Mario.
Yep, and, that's exactly
that,
what I
that was introduced in New Super Mario Brothers. Once again, this is basically new. I mean, it is literally Yoshi's New Island. It's new Super Yoshi's Island.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Super Mario Brothers 3.
It is actually New Super Yoshi's Mario Island. Brothers 5, just like how Yoshi's Island is the fifth game in the original Mario Brothers series.
See, I call that a stretch because New Super Mario Brothers 2 was the third one. technically. And so if they're going with the 3DS naming scheme, this is 3.
Are you really trying to tell me that the original Mario
and also,
didn't
if
have
you
weird
think
numbering?
About it, then there was Super Mario Brothers 1, 2, USA 2, then 3, then World.
So but technically, there was
Yoshi's Island was
you.
The
there
6th
Luigi
Super...
existed too.
But World 2 yeah. was Yoshi's New Island, was Yoshi Island.
Yeah. Yeah, that was World 2.
Yeah.
I prefer to think of it as
But that that was Super technically the 6th Super Mario Brothers game.
And the 6th new Super Mario Brothers game, kind of.
Or the 3rd.
Or the 3rd.
Well,
or
then, because the then we're not factoring in Super Mario Land or Super Mario Land 2 either.
Yeah.
Or not... Super Mario Land 3. I think that might have been happening.
I like to think of it as the next game in the new Super Mario Brothers.
I'm just being an ass. I'm sorry.
That's what I like to think of it as.
No, I mean, it definitely, it does follow that kind of line of thinking, and because I'm not at the end, I can't check the credits, and I think we technically can't even confirm this until the review embargo anyway, but as I said before, I wouldn't be shocked if you look at, like, the, you know, the designers and the producers and stuff that worked on this game, and they're probably the same people that worked on New Super Mario Brothers 2. I mean, we know that Tezuka's the connective tissue, but I think it's probably deeper than that. Yeah. It's probably, like, the New Super Mario Brothers team. Some of them went to work on this game after New Super Mario Brothers 2 was done. I mean, that kind of lines up when you think about the timeline of the development, too.
It feels so much like a New Super Mario Brothers game, too. Yeah. And the fact that it has a consistent mid-boss, and the fact that the bosses are consistently 3 hits, even towards the very end, it's all 3 hits. And then how the fact instead of Big Mario, now there's the Egg Dozers. And I guess how New Super Mario Brothers 2 had the invincibility stuff. Now this has Flutter Wings. Mm. It has the New Super Mario Brothers DNA, especially.
Well, I mean, that's just Super Guide stuff.
Pretty deep in, huh?
That's just Super Guide stuff. Although it's interesting, kind of in comparison that, when you die, I think it's like 3 times when you fail in a level, you get the Flutter Wings that they don't make you invincible.
Yeah.
But then if you die more, then you get like the gold Flutter Wings.
One more time after that. I just tried it today.
All right, yeah, because I stumbled upon it and tried it out in one level.
Well, you're not strictly invincible. You just get a bounce off from the enemies, which is still, like, pretty much to pummel you in stupid pits.
Yeah.
But
it's interesting with that, because they do have the super guide thing in Yoshi's New Island, whereas I think one of the guys from Retro Studios, or maybe it was Tanabe, made the comment about how they took out the super guide from Tropical Freeze. Because apparently that people didn't like having, like, the level done for them. So instead, in Tropical Freeze, they kind of played up a lot more of, like, here's the shop where you can buy stuff. Which I actually kind of prefer that method of Super Guide, where you can, like, get items that will make it easier, as opposed to here's the win button. And even in Yoshi's New Island, it's not, you still need to, like, get over stuff, but...
Yeah. Going back to the level design, because Alex just said Blair, I found them fine. I like my levels focused, and that was pretty much what Yoshi's New Island is. Those levels were pretty straightforward. You could get through them in a good few minutes, and you got something out of it, which is the most important part for me, really.
Yeah, no, definitely.
Do you remember a single level concept that isn't a castle? And I'm not, like, trying to call you out. I really wonder, like. Because, like, there are the levels where the meteors fall, and there's the level with the blargs that come back, but most of them all
I forget
blend
the
together.
Damn names. There's, like, the... Are they called blargs in this game? Because isn't there a level where it's, like, Neptune nuts or something? Like,
well, there are subsets of them. I looked this up on the Mario Wiki today. I don't always know this, but I was looking it up
There would be the enemies. I mean, I don't know what specifics we can talk about.
I know a few we can talk about.
There's some cool shit with birds.
Yeah, there's one where you hop on balloons and on bubbles, which I really liked.
Yeah, no, that was really cool.
There's
frustrating
also,
at times, but cool.
Yes, it was really frustrating. It was one with the cave one where you had to use like the fire watermelon.
Yeah.
But that one was actually, like, if you knew the way, it was actually super short.
There's also one that, and this is going to be a very polite troll on Scott Thompson. I hope he's editing this week. This will be perfect. because I remember Alex was on the segment with me when we were talking about Rayman Legends, and I remember Scott talking about how there's that one level in Rayman Legends where like you're in the underwater and you go down, and then like you can go left and you can go right, and you have to go both ways to finish the level.
Yeah,
Yoshi's New Island has a level like that where you have to go both ways in order to get keys to be able to get to the end of the level.
They had one of those, Scott.
This game's for you.
The original Yoshi's Island. I think it was like the pink fluffy Kirby looking boss.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah. See, yeah. I haven't played through the original Yoshi's Island in 2005. I
feel it's like a short game.
It was high school. It was the end of high school. The last time that I played it.
I think the most problem with me is that I can't remember much from the first world and more from the later ones.
I remember a lot from the first world because I obsessed over getting the fucking medals, which is probably, like, this is, like, game-breakingly stupid, very close to it, at least for me. So you have unlockable levels in each world, and to get one of them, you need to collect 30 egg medals. Mm-hmm. And how you get these medals is that you collect flowers in the level. When you go to that end ring that they have, where it alternates between flowers and just empty dots, you might be able to collect the flowers that you got to get up to 30. So in an effort to try to unlock that special level in World 1, I wound up just mining levels because I was just trying to get all the flowers in each level. And then I got them all, and I still was at, like, 23 medals or something, because I just keep on landing on the... getting unlucky and not landing on the right one. So I ended up just going to, like, the first or second level and just running through it twice, getting, you know, the amount of flowers that I needed as fast as possible and hoping. And even that, I think I had to play through it three times in order to get up to 30, because I needed to get two. And the first time, I didn't fucking get it. It just, it's the stupidest mechanic for unlocking anything I've ever seen.
Yeah, they have those instead of the little mini live games from the original. Yeah. I like how it's like the dun, 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 and then you can match the tiles to get like five lives.
Hmm.
They don't have that anymore. It's
well, you don't really need to get more lives. You get a ton of lives in this game. I think I'm up to like 130.
Me too.
Not even done.
I'm at 170.
Yeah. I do like, I thought I was going to crap out at 99, but at least I know I can just go higher.
I remember now a level from World 1, the Beanstalk one.
Yeah. Yeah, that was cool.
Yeah, this was a fine level. And there was that one you talked about with in World 2, where those chain jumps come from volcanoes.
Yeah. And there's some variations on that as you go along, too.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, that's some of the levels I remember.
I guess one tiny, tiny final thing I want to touch on, because I know we're edging up against the clock here, is I want to talk a little bit about the difficulty in this game.
Okay.
Everyone has their own different perspective on difficulty. But in my personal opinion, I like games that have a thick challenge to them, whether it be basic playing through the game or... through collectibles, which is totally fine. That's what the previous two games did. In this game, the collectibles kind of make the incredibly easy difficulty tedious. So what is normally an incredibly easy base game is just made longer. Like, the collectibles in this game, to me, didn't make the game that much harder, even when I went to the final world in the game.
I kind of disagree with you.
Yeah, me
too. I haven't
even
gotten to the last world. I mean, if you were to just burn through this game and not give a shit about collectibles, oh, it's piss easy.
It's
like, there's probably some hard levels here or there, especially, you know, stuff with lava where you can instantly die and junk like that, or spikes. But for the most part, like, yeah, if you were to burn through it, it's easy. I'm finding myself, you know, just trying to like, you know, oh, I see that flower there. How am I going to go get it? Or, you know, trying to get different things. Trying to go for collectibles, and I'm not being too slavish for it. I'll try to get it and mostly just go through the level, and I plan on going back, actually, after I finish. That's how much I'm enjoying it.
Same here.
But I would die a couple times on levels, you know, trying to get the collectibles, and it's not like it was like pull your head out tough, and it's definitely not on the same level of a Donkey Kong Country Returns, but seems to me in line with the difficulty of the new Super Mario Brothers series.
I think it's a step below that. Just personally, I guess. I mean, I only came back for collectibles the second time around.
Really, again?
I would try to get the flowers and the red coins when I saw them, but I just mostly breezed through the game and however many hours it took. And
because it took you. Yeah. Well, yeah, we can't talk about that yet.
It's just my
read our reviews. Was. Follow us on Twitter, and we'll when the embargo goes up on March 13th, we will be more forthcoming about specifics.
At Nintendon, at CULAFIA, and at Enron10. But anyways, the difficulty was static. That was my only complaint I wanted to throw out there. Like, when I was playing through it normally without going through collectibles, like, the toughest parts in the first world and the toughest parts of the last two worlds kind of pretty similar in difficulty to me.
I'm finding that, especially as I'm, like, halfway through World 5, I don't really find it as, as different. Or I guess I find the difficulty different compared to what you're saying. Like, there does seem to be some sort of slow upward climb, although it's not a huge gulf, but it's noticeable. Like, I can play a level from World 4 or 5 and be like, hey, this is harder than World 1. But we're going to wrap this up. You can read our reviews. Well, I guess Alex's and Don's will be up on Nintendo World Report on March 13th at... I don't know if the European and the North American embargoes are the same, but I think ours is... I think the North American one's about 1 o'clock Eastern time.
Yeah, that's like what it usually is.
So you can read Alex's review and Don's review at that time. You can read my review of Yoshi's New Island in the upcoming issue of Nintendo Force, which I think launches on like March 14th. Something like that. So won't be too much of a disparity. But talk to us on Twitter. Talk to us in the comments on this show. And definitely when the embargo comes up, we will blab. We like to talk. Thank you for listening. On behalf of Don and Alex, you can speak for yourself.
All right. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoyed this week's episode. Don't forget to send your listener mail questions to connectivity@nintendoworldreport.com. Seriously, we love them. And please, if you've got a moment, rate and review the show on iTunes.